The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to The Weekend Podcast, everyone. It's a Thursday. It's a weekend. We're recording this on Thursday, but it goes out in the weekend. Because again, we can't sync our social diaries. You know, we're social butterflies, essentially. Well, in fact, Pete can't make it this weekend. What's the reason, Pete?
I'm training my butterflies.
You can say something. What, tell it you're going to see your parents, are you?
I'm not. No, my parents are visiting, yeah.
There we are. Hang on. This one gives you, if your parents are anything like my parents... Yeah. Just saying, can I have? I'm going to sneak off for an hour
and
do
a podcast.
I know. I say, yeah. I'm going to sneak off for an hour to have a break from this insanity, this nonsense, and record a podcast. Give you a break, you know. Give you back into the sane world. Anyway, Pete, Paddy, Steve are here.
Yes.
But I spent last weekend in West Wales with the parents, and I've got to say,
yes.
Oof! I need a break to get away from that. But do you know what I can understand? West Wales, nice weather, amazing beaches down there as well. If you've got the weather there, it's one of the best places in the world.
Oh, yeah, it's beautiful.
Beautiful, beautiful. There's a beach called Munt. Oh, well, do you want to see my Munt? There's a beach called Munt, and it's fantastic. The trouble is, it's now getting on those lists, you know, the top 10 beaches in the UK. It's on those lists, or the most unknown beaches. And the thing is, it gets on those lists. And it's not unknown anymore, is it? It's not a spot, you know.
I'm not aware of those lists, but okay.
Well, if you're searching for a beach, you know, you want the best sandy beaches in the UK, it's in the top 10. In fact, I saw someone say top 10 in the world or something, but it's lovely. It's a cove, you know, and it's sandy beach, nice, bit a little bit cold. But anyway, because it's coastal, the weather's quite cool down there. And it was about 23 degrees. We left on a Sunday. Driving inland down to the south coast of England, it's like a four-hour drive. It's getting hotter and hotter, even though it was getting later. By the time we got home, about 7 p.m, it was like 32 degrees. So what's going on here? What's happening here? Hey?
Yeah.
And then yesterday...
It's quite warm, isn't it?
Yeah, yesterday we went out to, eat out to help yourself get fat and die of obesity. We did that. And we were sitting outside in Southampton. And I looked at my weather app, and I got all different places we've been on holidays, like Mexico, Dominican, you know, Tenerife, and we were the hottest. We were 12 degrees hotter than Lanzarote. It's nuts, isn't it?
Yeah, that happens sometimes, doesn't it?
Humid, wasn't it? Oh, humid. But like 32.
Did you get any rain today, Lance? Did you go and stand in the rain?
Oh, yeah.
We had thunderstorms in Cardiff.
Yes, lovely. It needed a bit of sun, a bit of storm, didn't it? Needed that. Too humid, see? Getting too humid, it needs to rain.
Humid.
Yeah.
Croydon flooded. Croydon flooded. But where I was, I went to stand in my garden to enjoy it, and we didn't really get anything.
Really?
It was just a bit of a dribble, really.
Well, how was it flooded then?
I'm just trying to highlight the disparity within like a couple of hundred metres, really. Like Croydon's flooded, and where I am, just down the road, not flooded.
That's because the gutters are full of filth and you know, aren't they? Croydon needs a good ball wash. That's what it needs. Needs a good, you know, what you want is a giant down there with a big steam cleaner. That's what you want. That'll sort everyone out down there. You know, get a good clean.
There we go.
What's this podcast about? Sorry,
weather.
Weather and beaches.
Yeah, well, like I said, Munt, Aberporth, two very good beaches worth visiting. Very good.
Is that Pembrokeshire? Where is that?
It's West Wales.
Yes.
It's Cardigan Bay. Cardigan Bay, I took a picture of a seal. I saw some dolphins. The biggest pod of dolphins in Europe you found down there, bottlenose dolphins. Phenomenal.
All right.
Phenomenal.
Well, all right, Judith Chalmers. Right, should we crack on with the podcast?
Yeah. Okay. So I thought last week, you know, I don't know what time's gone very quickly, you know, and I haven't really prepared anything. So I thought what we do is go with listeners' questions.
Okay, great. Sorry, are you saying you normally prepare?
Yeah. Now, I've had a couple of people questioning me about, I don't want to talk about actually, the Salt Lake Potash thing. And, because a lot of people have questioned about this. I haven't had the offer. We're recording this on a Thursday. It's the 13th, okay? Now, the record date was on the 11th. All right, that means that's a cut-off date. So unless you're a shareholder on that day, on the register, Well, that, they mean something else. I was on the register, But unless you're on the register, the shareholder register, on the 11th, okay, then you're not eligible for any of the offer shares. The offer shares, you get one share for every 3.2 shares you own. And then you can't automatically apply for those shares until the 14th. That's when the offer is open. And then that's when you should see it. Ari and Ari should be, oi, flip that open. Somebody should be, you know, I don't know how they do it. Press the button. There'll be a corporate on Barclays. There's a corporate actions tab there. And I, do you know what? I don't know till yet whether it's going to happen, you know. I mean, whether it's available. I mean, we are available, eligible, because it says UK shareholders as well. But there's also whether it's available in the ISA. I sometimes see why not. But I've got the X date next to mine. Do you have that on yours, an X date?
No. It's not when I looked the other day.
What are they going to do? They're going to give us some shares. Is that what's happening?
No, you've got to buy them, Pat.
Oh,
yeah. You've got to buy them. So,
no, there's nothing on Harry and Larry at the moment, but...
Okay, well, you'll get...
I have had this before when I've spoken to Harry and Larry and about something like this, like a corporate action thing, and they're like, oh, I don't know.
Well, that was Harry's job then. That was Harry's job, that was.
Harry, there's a guy talking about corporate action. Anything?
And I got,
oh, I don't know.
Get Harry on the phone. He said, that's Larry's job. That was Larry. Larry. This is you.
Yeah.
That's what they do there. Harry and I just blame each other. They say, no, I'll go and get Larry now. He's running. He's running away. Larry! He's run off down the office. Little sod.
Speaking of Harry and Larry, they've had a bonanza season because everyone's getting into investing. Do you see their share prices?
I didn't see that.
And the Harry and Larry themselves have, I think I saw something, they'd cashed in a few chips and, you know, walked away with billions of pounds.
Yeah. Did you see, did you read my blog post, by the way? I did a little blog. I was travelling to West Wales on the Friday. I wrote a blog post.
You've been to West Wales?
My parents' house, yes. Very nice. There. Cardigan Bay. It's like a bay it's a bay just covered in a big cardigan. It's lovely and warm.
Any good beaches down there?
Lovely beaches, lovely dolphins, lovely seals. Yeah. Mm. And I'd highly recommend the Cliff Resort and Spa. Cracking. You got if you get the suite there, you get hot tub overlooking a just phenomenal view. I know it's all my pictures on Instagram. Phenomenal.
Did you take a snail on holiday with you?
Yeah, took a snail.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. But it's just phenomenal. And,
snail?
Yes.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, I took a picture. You must have seen it on my Instagram, Pat, because I know you're a big fan of Instagram account. But, yeah, I took a picture. There's a little snail. There's glass windows overlooking the bay, pretty much. Just glass windows. You can sit in the hot tub and look at the views, because there's glass, you know, glass balcony windows. And it's phenomenal. I mean, even the snail was enjoying the view. There's a little snail sitting on top of the view on the thing. Anyway, what I'm saying is I wrote the blog in my parents' house on the way there. We stopped halfway there. It's halfway there. I wrote the blog, and I nailed down pretty much the economics. And the more I think of this, right, the more I think, what business do I want to get involved with? I know is... Because it's all about risk and reward, isn't it, right? Shares. All about risk and reward. And like I said, this is completely de-risked now. They've got all the money they need to get into production and start chucking off cash, man. You know, massive loads of cash. And I'm just going to get out... And I've worked out... And I said this on the podcast to Tony, and he said, those economics are pretty much right. They're not really allowed to say... You know, give forward look at economics. But he was saying they want to do this, you know, Lake Way will do 245,000 tons a year, okay? And he wants to do 1 million tons within 5 years. So, Lake Way, I mean, say on a very conservative valuation, Lake Way doing that, EBITDA is 60 million a year, 60 million pounds of EBITDA, so earnings before interest, tax, depreciation, amortization. Now, you could do a valuation on that 5 times. It's very low. 300 million is worth us. That's double already your money right now on where we are. Now, that's very lowest investment. Medium, which where most companies you would value at, you do a low, a medium, and a high. Medium 10 times, that's 600 million. That's a 4-bagger on this first project alone. Now, if you went for a high one, then you could go for that because they are growing fast. They've got lots of other lakes. That's 15 times EBITDA, that's 900 million. But let's go with 600 million, so that's a 4-bagger, 4 or 5-bagger, that'll do me, you know, nice. But then, if you extrapolate that and take that 245,000 tons and times by 4, which is 1 million tons, which they said they're going to be doing within 5 years, then essentially times everything by 4. So that's, at a low valuation, 1.2 billion pounds, that's what it should be worth. That is 7.5 times. That's a very low estimate. And that's 7.5 times the current valuation. Now, if you do a medium estimate, then that's 2.4 billion valuation. That's 15 times current valuation. I don't know if any project really is mapped out. And they've got it, you know, they've done it. The first project is the hardest. Like I said, I honestly can't see any company that's almost, you know, really low risk now to get to at least a bagger and then probably to 5-10 bags, you know.
And in terms of skin in the game, the chairman and Tony both got big chunks of cash in, haven't they?
He retweeted that, yeah, and I said, nice of them having skin in the game. What did he have? So they took part in the placing. I'll scroll down here. He retweeted and commented, said, skin in the game is very important. So Ian Middlemass, the chairman, subscribed for 2.75 million shares. That's 800 grand, or 750 grand. So 750,000 he subscribed for. In this current. Now, would they do this? Would they do... I don't care how well off you are, and Ian Middlemass, the chairman, he now owns 5.2 million quid's worth of shares at 31 pence. That's what the chairman owns. And Tony owns 1.4 million, pretty much, of shares as well. Right? Now, that gives you confidence, doesn't it? That they honestly think this is going somewhere. And if you look at his comments on Twitter, they just say, listen, we're going to try and do... You know, listen, I won't let you down. This is going to be a winner. And if you look at the latest... I retweeted, actually. If you look at the latest pictures, just the scale... of what they're creating there. They've got proper little canteens, you know, this is on the first, and proper little, you know, office blocks, the amount of put in there with canteens. It's 100 people working on Lake Way, you know. This is only 100,
isn't it? It's only 100. You didn't tell me about the canteen.
Even got two microwaves in there. Sure. It's got proper fitted unit, you know, units and all that stuff. You know, get electricity coming out there, the office blocks going in, with, you know, they got 1, 2, 3, 4, four plug, you know, double plug sockets for each desk area. This is just in the middle of the desert, you know. And the cranes, they're just bringing these sort of modular blocks in by big cranes. And if you look at the scale of the site, they got a massive, I don't know how they did that with a drone, I assume. They're about 500 feet up. I have a look at my Twitter account there. And they've got, you can see loads of these demountable buildings everywhere, and they've got the sites. And you think that this is only valued at 150 million. They've got about 60 million in cash. And they've also got debt funding for 200 million.
If you managed to work this all out on your mum and dad's kitchen table, why is it not flying already if it's this obvious?
They haven't started yet, Pad. Do you understand? There were people who invested in, for example, you know, there were people who invested in, like, ASOS, when ASOS were telling you they were going to be a big, or Rightmove, when they were telling you they were a big thing. People don't believe it. So there are lots of people who get out of a 100 bagger just before it's bagged once. You know, plenty of people. If you look at the right,
the retail offer is going to pin down the share price for now, isn't it? Because you think about it, we're past the record date now, but you're not going to, why would you buy in now? You'd buy in now and then take up the offer, wouldn't you?
Let me say one thing. The retail offer is a tiny proportion of the actual fundraise. And what volatility we've seen in the share price? Not a lot, really. It's been up to 34 pence. It's come down to 13 a bit pence, you know? Now, considering they just raised, fully underwritten, that is, mind. So they went, I mean, so that if the offer doesn't get taken up by private investors, it's been taken up by institutional investors. So they've raised $98 million, you know, and it's fully underwritten. And yet they've also raised $200 million in debt funding. And yet this is a company just with pretty much 60 you know, million pounds, and it's a 150 million market cap. So X cash is 90 million.
But now, my point is, whether you're a private investor or an institution, like everyone who wants to be involved has kind of got involved now, for the time being, sort of thing, don't you think?
And then this is what I'm saying, right? Of course, the share price will go up and down. I don't know where it's going to go from here. It may come down, it may go up. It may shoot up. I'm looking at the chart right now. I think it's building nicely. I think it's going to cross level. If it doesn't dip here, people are going to buy and go crazy. Because, and I can see a lot of people taking up the offer. I'm saying right here, Pad, right here and now, okay? I want to record this in posterity. I don't know whose posterity. But I want to write this down, Pad. Someone will come back to this in a year's time, right? And I want your quote. How are people getting involved at this level if it's so obvious? I just want that quote down. They are going to be producing. They know how much resource they've got. They are going to be producing 245,000 tons of sulphate of potash, right? I mean, on average, across a 20-year period.
Down.
Have you written this down? He's got his final finest pens. I can hear him.
I've tattooed it on my arm.
Yeah.
Cool.
And literally, all you have to do now, like that book says, 100 baggers, buy right and hold on. Don't have any.
So, have you bought any extra then since this thingamajig you've just been talking about?
This thingamajig?
hasn't opened yet. Steve, the corporate action doesn't start until tomorrow.
But you can't buy tomorrow.
This will make it more complicated, Steve. We're recording this on Thursday, but time this goes out,
the offer will have been.
Yeah. So Friday the 14th is the offer date. Yeah, I'm going to take up. So let me see if you can work it out, Steve. How many shares will you be offered?
About 100.
100 shares?
Are you sure?
No, I just made that up.
Okay. Yeah. So basically you get one for every 3.2. So divide whatever shares you have. Let's say you have, make it easier.
320.
Yeah, let's say you've got 3,200. Yeah, you get 1,000 shares. Yeah, exactly. So that's the kind of thing. But it's up to you. You don't have to take up the offer at all. But let's say now the share price starts to rise. And in fact, you've got a week to take it up, by the way. You don't have to, so the offer opens tomorrow on Friday, and you've got to the following Friday, I think it's the 25th, to actually hit that buy button at Harry and Larry if they get their backsides in gear. So if the share price goes up, take advantage of it, you know? If it goes,
Why the hell not?
Yeah, if it goes down, don't bother. It's up to you. It'll be fully unwritten anyway. So those shares will be bought up anyway. So there'll be, more sticky hands institutionally will be holding them than private investors just panic and pee their pants when the share price goes down a little bit. So institutions don't because it's not their money really. So they just pile into it. They'll hold on to them. You know, they'll do hold on to them for like a year or so. They'll make good money. And then they'll maybe start to offload.
But this period now, this next week or two, I can't see the logic in buying or selling the shares. It's like,
exactly. Let's say within 5 years they're going to be tracking off that amount of million tons a year, right? Like I said, that will give you a valuation, based on the valuation. That'll give you a valuation of anywhere between say 1 and 3 billion for this company. So.
Yeah.
You could say now, in fact, why wouldn't you buy now? It's a good time as any to buy, really, because if anything, this fundraising has steadied the share price a bit.
Yeah, if you are just discovering it for the first time and you're just seeing this, and go, hold on, well, I've missed the boat to get in on the action because the record date was the other day, but, okay, the price is actually down at the level anyway, so, yes, you could start buying. And so people might start buying and we might see a rise.
Yeah, I don't think people understand, right, the... what they've done here, I think there's a difference between private investors and institutional investors, right? If you raise money at a higher level, at a significantly higher level than you did last time, right, and you keep doing that, institutional investors are very impressed. They're hugely impressed. Capital attracts capital, right? And that's the ideal thing. And what happens is, if they were an investor in the last round, and then you're offered, to invest in another round higher up, say, 15, 20% higher, they'll take part because they made money in the first round. So they'll keep investing. Now, if you compare something, we all know about Horizonte Minerals, for example, right? They've got two big nickel plays. So two big nickel plays, right, in Brazil. Jurisdiction is quite questionable because you've got the COVID running wild in Brazil, And but they've got a big... thematically, nickel's a good place. You need nickel for EVs and all that stuff. So they've got two projects, Araguaia. They've just literally... I mentioned some news this week that they've arranged a mandate to get debt funding out of the way, right? They need $440 million capital expenditure to get the debt. That's what they need. So and this was in essence, $325 million senior debt facility mandate for Araguaia. So everyone thought, yes, debt funding done. It's not, though. All they've done is they've agreed with a couple of banks for the banks to go out and try and find this debt funding for them. Now, the share price rallied 25% on that. Now, and if you look at the economics of Horizonte, for example, they need to raise $440 million. Their NPV is around about the same. Now, if you look at Salt Lake Potash, right? Their CapEx is only $264 million, so it's close to half the amount. And their NPV is $469 million. So what's that? The economics stack up a lot better. The payback on their debt for Salt Lake is 3.6 years. Within 3.6 years, they'd have paid the debt back. and they're still generating, you know, 111 million of Australian dollars. So what I'm saying is, debt funding is very hard to achieve. These guys have done it. These guys have done it. Not only that, they raised 90 million Aussie dollars alongside it. Hardly, not a huge discount, really. And it's been fully underwritten. So there's a lot of confidence in this board.
They'll pay an interest rate on that.
9%, yeah.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Every drawdown. So whenever they draw down, they pay 9%. Don't pay into the drawdown. But that's a good rate. I've seen rates of 15, 20% for this kind of debt.
Right, okay.
But there's a lot of confidence behind this board, because this board, like I said, like Tony said, they were Fortescue iron ore. I think it's the third or fourth biggest iron ore company in the world now. They were there when it was like 2 or 3 billion. It took it up to 54 billion. And then these guys are now, and that was in northwest Australia, now in southwest. This is a big company in the making. It's going to happen. They've got the supply, they've got the demand, and they've got the product, this premium, you know, low volatile, very stable priced commodity that's very needed. The thematic, like thematically, it works as well, because there's a growing middle class who are eating sort of nicer fruits that don't need your chloride, can't deal with chloride, so this is the kind of potash they need. So it's just going to be it's the closest I can say to being a nailed-on 10 bagger. All you do is sit and do nothing. You know, maybe even take the offer.
For how
maybe
long? For
maybe
how
buy long the. Well, let's give it 3 to 5 years, because that's when they be at a million tons. You know, when you're throwing off that kind of cash, and you know, because you know full well there'll be demand there. They've got the supply. The price of sulfate of phosphate is very stable, so they're going to be throwing off that kind of cash, right? Now you could, a company's share price, well, you know, will not stay still if they're chucking off that amount of cash. That's the value. They are generating real value. That's real value generation, cash.
Yeah.
That's it, you know.
Paddy, can you add to your tattoo bracket, and Justin's going to hold this share for 3 to 5 years?
I am. Do you know what? No, listen. I've hardly... Do you know what? I've now... Listen, there's companies I've held at the moment, I've held for a while now. I've had Polarian. How long have I had Polarian for?
Yeah, probably a year or two. Maybe. But
probably even more than that. No, because I remember doing a video on them when I was in Mexico last July. So, and that was like, it wasn't the start of this. I had them over a year and a half. Solid. I realised after reading this book, I thought, do you know what? I traded in out a lot of stocks. I've been stupid doing this, really. You know, there are stocks, I'm convinced about Polarian, Salt Lake, and pretty much Gfinity, right? I'm convinced on those three. They're going to do well. I'm also half convinced on Symphony Environmental. And but as yet, I need some more convincing on the news. If they get these tests back on their bread packets in a bigger market,
America,
their revenue will significantly increase. That's why I like Symphony. And others I'm not that convinced on yet. I quite like this kind of stable, but they're not 10 baggers. You know, though. I mean, Polarian and Salt Lake Potash are 10 baggers. They're 10 baggers. And do you know what? The only way you miss out on that is by selling. Full stop.
So we need to sell.
Nolan.
Pardon? Nolan.
Nolan says. Nolan.
No.
What? Nolan.
And they'll pay a dividend along the way.
Yeah, they will. That's what they intend to do. Big companies pay dividends, you know. When you're making that much cash, you can't, you know, it's inefficient just to hold that much cash just on a part, unless you're going to acquire another company or going to grow more or do something else. Then, they'll just pay it back to shareholders, you know. So,
And it's that thing, if they've actually sold a lot of it, you know, up front to people and all that, it's very encouraging. It is a bit like, okay, where's the catch? But I agree.
That is the catch. People honestly believe, sometimes, I hate saying no-brainer because nothing's a no-brainer, but sometimes when people says, it's too obvious, do you know what? Sometimes in life, you know, keep it simple. You know, it's there. The roadmap is there. Keep it simple. Yes. You can trade in out small stocks here and there. I've got to have conviction to put a nice chunk in, you know, into a company. I've got conviction here. And I see the guys, every fundraising, every round, the guys have been taking part in every fundraising round. You know, Tony, the CEO, the chairman, in decent chunks. And I'm thinking, well, they're not trying to fool anyone. You know, and all this, if you look at what's going on out there, it's a big operation. They are going to be producing. They're not messing around, you know. I don't know what could possibly go. We've had the worst pandemic ever, right? And the share price went down, of course, by 20 pence and come back up. But they're in the Perth, which is like this very low incidence of we've got to be careful, of course, but we've really not been affected in Perth the era, you know. And they have on the you know, east of Australia, of course, and Melbourne and all that. But in Perth is the most isolated city in the world, isn't it?
It is, yes. Yeah.
Who's playing that game there? What is that?
Steve playing with his maracas.
Yeah.
Oh, I see.
So C4XD's flying, isn't it?
Yes. Is it?
No. Well, it's up a bit.
The thing is, right? I like companies. I like Polarian. I'm hooked on companies with IP, right? And proprietary, you know, IP. That means that's something they own. It's a barrier to entry for other companies. And when they, and of course, in the world of you know, pharma, biotech, there's a lot of that because they come up with novel drugs, you know. And of course, once they come up with a novel drug, it's that's a patent, that's theirs, no one else can have it. That's why people are quite like pharmaceutical companies. But they've got to get past, you know, those risky years. When you get a big company like Glaxo or AstraZeneca, they've obviously got drugs that are paying them cash already, and then you've got other ones that they're going through clinical trials, which is the very risky part. They can afford that. But when you're a small company and you've only got drugs going through, you know, preclinical, then it's still high risk, you know, and there's a lot of cash burn there. But that's how you get these licensing deals with C4XD. But yes, they've got the IP, and that's, it's, you know, once they got that, that's why other companies have paid to pay big bucks for it, because it's a big market. So that ticks the boxes, but it's a very fine line. It's a risk and reward there. You know, it's still very high risk, isn't it? You know, and so you've got to weigh up the risk. If you can get risk real down, and then the reward's still big, that's why I'm saying about, you know, Solid Virus. The risk to me now is quite low, but the reward is still quite big. With C4XD, the risk is still quite high, and the reward is still quite high, but I mean they probably need to raise some cash. And I don't know, it didn't look last time, but I mean I still like C4XD. I loved them, you know. I wrote a big blog on them. I liked them, but I wasn't, you know, as learned or as well versed over risk and reward so much. And I thought, oh, hang on a sec, let's have a look at what, you know. So it's, yeah, it's a high risk play, but high reward play. What's the market cap on them anyway? 22, are they?
Down a little bit now.
Oh, Pete, did you know that Clive
22,
Dix?
22, yeah.
Did you know that Clive Dix?
Yeah.
Is been a deputy of the vaccine task force.
Exactly.
And what he gets for that is like a superhero suit.
Right. Excellent.
Yeah,
with a big one of them little eye masks.
Yeah, with a big IV or whatever on the front. I don't know what it is.
Yeah. Perfect.
Yeah. But yeah, the reason why I say that is because in the WhatsApp group today, Pete did tweet that. He said, "Look."
Tweet it.
Yeah, I said, thanks for listening to the podcast. We were talking about this like 2 weeks ago.
I know, I misread the headline. I saw the headline.
You said it was brand new news. It was on the 5th of June. I said, well, that's what we're talking about, weren't we? I said, add COVID to the title of any RNS, ladies and gentlemen, and the share price, and that RNS will effectively do better by 20-30% than anyone without COVID. And they could have mentioned COVID right there in that Clive Dix appointed to UK Vaccine Task Force, and in subtitle they've got government's task force to lead UK efforts to deliver COVID-19 vaccine. No! You simple idiots! Put the COVID in the main bit!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Grace has recovered a bit, hasn't it?
What's that?
Greg's has recovered a bit.
Do you know what? Listen, boys, let me tell you one thing. This is what I'm thinking, right? I've got about 30-35% cash. You're going to use that to top up in companies that I think will take a dip. And I mean, wherever they are, Polarian, Salt Lake, Symphony, you know, Gfinity. Because I've said this before, I think we're going to have a lot of bad news coming out, you know, and then we get the things on top, like the election and all that stuff, and I think we will have another dip, because I know there's Fed standing there ready to pump more in, but have you seen some of the figures coming out? It's phenomenal, and so the unemployment levels, and yet the stock market's pretty much shrugging it off, and I think, how long can it do that for? So I think we're prepared. Not in a bad way, but be prepared to top up in companies you believe in, you know? So I think there will be opportunities down the line. I don't know if it'll happen.
I think I'm just focusing more on the smaller cap.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
no,
they
no.
are risk and reward, I know, but just because it's a simpler story. And I just, you can't predict what's going on with the bigger stocks at the moment, and the markets are just like, I don't know, I just don't understand it. Because you kind of go, well, we all know it's going to be a recession. We all know it's going to be, there's going to be some horrendous data coming out, and here we are, here's the data. And we knew that was coming, but so how come we're not seeing that? We weren't seeing that reflected in the stocks. And then, like you say, Greggs, for example, really saw a dip early in the month, but then it's rallied now. Why is it rallying now? I mean, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, there is a thing. The people were worried about the figures, weren't they? And I suppose the economy is opening back. I don't know if you've driven around, but there are lots more people on the road. But is it worth... We're at 14 now. The highest of year is, what, the 24, is it? But do you see... I watched Greg's CEO. He did an interview. I think it was on Sky. So they went up to 12, just under 12 quid. But he's on Sky, and he's talking about it. And he said, basically... You know, these out-of-town places like, you know, services and drive-thrus, they're doing quite well. But still, a lot of their shops in city centres are just not even opened. And he did say, we were going to close 50 shops anyway. I think they're going to and they're opening 60. But he said they're going to put a hold on that for a bit. But they're going to have to look at what they're doing because, shops closed for most of the second quarter. And total sales, Greg's, for example... They did 300 million sales in H1, £300 million. They did 546 million in H1 2019. So it's a big drop there, down, you know, like-for-like sales down 50%. Yeah, so are they down half?
The price is not that high. That doesn't sound too bad.
Well, that's why it's relative.
Well, hang on a sec, it's the profit, right? So they made 36 million in profit in H1 of 2019. They lost 65 million in this first half. So they've gone from, you know, so what, 36 plus 65, that's 100 million pretty much dropped on the profit. So net debt period, 286 million. Yeah, it is.
But those results, they were released at the end of July, is that right?
To the end of June, 27th of June 2020.
They were released the other week, and then we saw the dip. But it's rallied back strongly since then.
These were released on the 28th of July, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, 20th of July. It was falling towards the news, and then literally it fell a couple more days after that, 20th of July, two more days after that, hit the low, and then bounced back up.
And then lots of people are buying the dip, obviously believing in the
long term. I think it's going to roll over again now, though, because I can't see that figure improving massively. Can you? In the next month or so? I mean, how many people have gone back to work completely? What do they have? Are they? I don't know.
London's still completely empty.
Yeah.
It's like if you go into a prep, there's like two staff and one customer in everyone, and that's
it. Well, Pratt said, didn't they? They're going to close a lot of shops. There isn't enough people to service their restaurants. So, yeah, footfall is massively down. There we are. But the main thing of it, that H1, that was 3 months of that H1 they were open for, weren't they? Pretty much. So,
yeah.
January, February, March. Yeah, so.
No, that's a quarter. Oh, sorry, you have
three months of that six-month period they're open for. You know, so I think the next bit of news. I think be prepared for. All I'm saying is, be prepared with cash for opportunities. That's what I think, because I think there could be some dips. And if you're looking out 3-5 years on the line, I think we'll be back. You know, definitely, pretty much being back to normal. Because let's be honest, COVID, it doesn't really affect anyone apart from fat and old people.
And on that bombshell.
Quite a lot of those.
Only joking. No, what I'm saying is that.
You fall into both those categories, Justin.
Yeah. Am I worried though? No! But, but the thing is, they'll get a vaccine out, you know, before the end of the year. They won't have enough to go around the whole population because it'll take 2-3 years to get that up and running. But the whole population doesn't need it. The one strata of the population that needs it are people with who are very old, with health conditions, and people who are very fat. You know, and so, you know, and hopefully those people are not visiting Greg's, and so that's the problem, maybe, you know, but, and it will be safe, because they'll edge on have you seen the Russians come out with a vaccine? They're lying, they're idiots, aren't they? It's just an ego trip, isn't it, for Vladimir? We've got
Justin
one.
Said that, none of the rest of us said
Vladimir,
that.
Vladimir, we got vaccine, yes, we tested on one person. He's okay, he's not dead yet. And we're going to go.
We tried it on all young people. They're all fine.
The thing is, you know, let's say clinical phase 1, 2, and 3. Pretty much is how it goes, right? So clinical phase 1, they test it for safety on a small amount of people. Phase 2, they pretty much up the amount of people, right? And then phase 3, so they test it for safety and efficacy. So is it safe? Does it work? Safe is the first thing, because you're giving it to healthy people. They up the dose, well, they can up the dose and the people. But the third trial, they have up the dose pretty much and give it to thousands of people. And now they've only done about 100 people. They've done clinical phase 1. They've done, that's all they've done.
Mm. So, Putin's daughter's had some, hasn't she?
Yeah, that's what he reckons. You know, he's a liar, isn't he? Probably, he lies about his election results, everything. So he pretends. Yeah. They pretend.
He hasn't even got a daughter.
Yeah. He's got this person come out. It's like a bloke in a dress. Hey, this is my daughter, hey? She's fine. I don't know what accent he's got. Yeah. But he's the mouth from Fed. Yeah. And, so they haven't really got it. But what they're going to do with this vaccine, it won't be that effective, probably, because they can't put the dose too high. That's why the AstraZeneca and everything are quite confident what want to come out. They're going to say it'll be like 70-80% effective. That's because they can't up it, make it too potent, because it may kill people. But then they'll realise, they iterate it, do more tests and more tests and more tests, and in the end, it'll be safe for the entire population, and it'll be effective as well. So the percentage of effectiveness will go up. All that needed are the people that, you know, need shielding pretty much, and that's it, isn't it? It's over-exaggerated. It's the Imperial College numbers saying there was about 3 million people, they reckon, have had it, and yet, you know, that's way, way, way above what was predicted. I mean, is it apparently in the UK, it's about 200,000 cases or 300,000 cases, apparently, that we know of?
That's only numbers who've been confirmed by a test.
Yeah, but the Imperial College did the tests, didn't they? And they extrapolated. Where's UK figures? 313,000 officially of total cases. But the Imperial College came up with figures this week saying they reckon 3 million people have had it.
Yeah, but they've been saying since the start that they reckon it was 10 times more than the testing number, so that would be 2.5 million. So, yeah, I mean, it's more, but it's not dramatically.
I'm taking part in a trial as well. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? I mean, randomly selected. It's cracking. Do you know what happens? Yeah. So what happens is so the first month, they'll come every week, these people will come to the door, stand at a distance, and give us these swabs we have to shove up every orifice. I think every orifice. Well, I'll do it anyway, every orifice.
That'd be pleasant for them.
Yeah. Give them a bonus. And then every week for the first month, and then they come then for every month for a year. Now, they're going to give us 25 quid in vouchers every time they do it. That's good, isn't it?
Are you getting the vaccine, or what is it for?
I just want to... I think they're randomly sampling, you know, doing a big sample to see, you know, to understand how many people have had it or caught. Yeah, and so throughout the year, we'll see whether we get it or not. Yeah, so they get a more accurate picture. I was going to say...
Is this legit?
It's a very long-winded way to con someone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Over a year of 25 quid, I imagine. Well,
although the instructions were in Russian. So.
Yeah, exactly. And I was going to say, Megan told me about it. I said, tell him to sod off. I do that every week. She says, 25 quid a go. I said, oh, yeah, brilliant.
That's brilliant.
It's a bargain, isn't she?
So all four of you are going to get 25 quid a week?
Yeah, all four of us. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. A week. No, so you get 25 quid each time you do it. So the first time you do it, so you get 100 quid for the month. And then you get 25 quid a month then, or something like that, yeah. In vouchers.
You just make up some extra people in the house.
Yeah. Is it vouchers? I know, yeah.
I think that's called fraud.
But it's vouchers. I don't know where you can spend them, really. Probably you spend them in Greggs.
Right, exactly.
That's it. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, that sounds great. Let us know how that goes.
Yes. So anyway.
You're not getting the vaccine, though. They're just testing to see whether you got it.
No, yeah, they just do it. Like I said, I think it's testing to do a random sample.
I do wonder about the people who volunteer for vaccine testing. That doesn't seem like a good idea.
Yeah. I think it's taking one for the team, isn't it? Well done.
Yeah. And also, the stay and age. I was going to say you could sue them. I'm assuming that you sign away your rights.
Probably.
There's no way AstraZeneca or people like that would even open for a massive lawsuit like that.
So there was that one in London a few years ago, wasn't there, when everyone's head started swelling up?
Yeah, do you remember that? Wow. Imagine that, sitting in the bed next to the guy who had it just before you. Oh, my God.
It's like a scene from Beetlejuice, isn't it?
That'd be awful.
They did sue. I think they got some money.
Yeah, they did. Yes, they did, actually. Yeah. But imagine having a laugh and just doing that. Just go, if you had it first, right, and just go to the toilet and just literally put all sort of paint over your face and just come in screaming, "Ah, it's burning my face off!" The guy in the bed next to you starts panicking. Ah, got you. I don't think you'd be invited again for another trial, would you, really?
No.
Anyway, boys. Okay, that's enough, isn't it?
Yeah, probably. We probably offended enough people.
Yeah. So, in summary, they're only nailed on 10 bag at Salt Lake Potash. And
Do your own research.
Yeah, do your own research. I am a shareholder. You probably tell. Imagine if I wasn't. That'd be very odd. Anyway, have a nice weekend, boys.
Cheers. Later. Bye. Bye, Paddy.
Bye.
The Weekend Podcast on Vox Markets with Justin, Peter and Steve. Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy anything based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.